En Willab Nogales promovemos nuestra comunidad y su gente, y lo hacemos con mucha pasión, pero sobre todo con gran corazón. Con decenas de seguidores nuevos cada semana en nuestras redes sociales y colaboradores claves, estamos convencidos de que lo que hacemos está en el gusto de usted y de nuestra audiencia. Con entrevistas semanales tocando temas diversos de interés social como salud, educación, cultura, negocios, entre otros, nos hemos ganado la confianza de miles de personas de esta maravillosa región, Arizona, Sonora. En Willab Nogales siempre estamos en búsqueda de nuevas alternativas, ideas vanguardistas acompañadas de nuevas tecnologías que nos ayuden a promover y posicionar nuestra ciudad fronteriza de Nogales a un nivel global. Lo invitamos a que no se vuelva a perder nuestras entrevistas, los acontecimientos y eventos más relevantes de nuestra comunidad. Síganos por aquí en Willab Nogales. Transmitiendo nuestra comunidad al mundo.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to We Love Nogales. My name is Evan Corey, and I'm here with Lynx Fong Selby, who is an incredible director of films, and she recently shared her film Pueblo Mágico, Border Stories, at Morley Avenue on Friday night. So we're here to talk a little bit about this documentary that was shared, and we have a special 2-day screening tonight, first Friday at 8 p.m. and then tomorrow at 8 p.m. as well. So welcome, Lynx.
Thank you, Evan.
I'd like to just talk a little bit about your film and how it all came to be. Would you like to share?
Sure, yeah. So first of all, as you know, I grew up in Patagonia, but I think it's important to mention, as I did at our event the other night, I've been kind of part of this community since I was 4, and my parents moved us down to Patagonia. But, you know, I'm also outside of it. I'm not related to anyone in the town. I have a different background. I'm Chinese, Canadian American. So I've kind of been an observer here, but also feel very connected to the community. So when Trump was getting elected, there was a lot of negative media attention around the border. And really in my last few years of university, I really started focusing on border studies, specifically the US-Mexico border, and how through art we can kind of change the perception of that.
The whole narrative of what's being talked about, right?
Yeah, really everything. I mean, everyone we talk about down here has this understanding of the fluidity and hybridity of how life is lived down here, and it's really hard to get that feeling conveyed to people who don't live here. So
at the time when you like conceived the film, you were living in Montreal?
Montreal, or I had just moved to Toronto,
Ontario
in Canada, with a bunch of friends and fellow artists from Montreal. We decided to try something new. We were all living there, working in restaurants and other jobs, and I mean, we were sitting together in a room watching the American election, and we thought it would be kind of like a fun, jokey night. Another thing is this film doesn't have a clear political agenda. That wasn't the purpose, but just kind of all of the talk that was coming up about the border and Trump's promise to build a wall and everything like that. It kind of triggered us into action.
It's called Border Stories, Pueblo Mágico, Border Stories. And what struck me on Friday night when we saw it down on Morley Avenue was how each person had their own perspective. Like, you did these vignettes of how many people were involved that you interviewed and talked to?
Yeah, so, there's everyone we interviewed, which is much more than what made it into the film. For the purpose of this short film, I chose 3 kind of short stories. We, like, focused on 3 narratives, but you know, within that we had probably 6 different people talking throughout the film.
How many people were involved in the filming process as far as your team that came down here? And
Team that came down, it was 5 of us. Everyone quit their jobs, moved down here, came from different places. You know, we had people from Toronto by way of Iran, and someone from Chile, and you know, someone from New York. So we were a very diverse crew, background wise. But yeah, we all came down here. We decided to kind of just tackle this and make it happen. People took turns filming. We had no idea what we were doing, but we just figured it out. And yeah. We did everything between the five of us in terms of the fundraising and filming and making it happen. And, you know, the community supported everyone. So we were able to live here for 7 months.
Oh, so the filming process was 7 months?
Six or seven months, yeah.
Wow.
Total.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which so, I've learned is nothing when you're making a documentary, because usually, you know, we just kind of scratch the surface with people, but part of the documentary making process is actually getting to know someone over time and, like, really getting deep into different stories, so.
Right, you can't really get the whole picture if it's just one conversation. You
yeah.
have to meet up with them several times and get a feel.
Yeah.
Wow. And what were some of the impressions that your fellow videographers had of the area here?
No, it was so fascinating because, you know, most of them wanted to continue living down here. Everyone loved being down here. But then there were different levels of relatability that they had. And so while there were some things about the border area, I think the border was very seductive for them to, like, come and
experience
make it. A life and, you know, the pull of, like, oh, I could keep living here and things are so interesting, even coming from cities like New York. But also part of the pull was that it was so different. From where they were from. So, nice. Yeah.
Wow. Well, we had this screening downtown on Morley Avenue where we closed the block and La Línea Art Studio hosted it. We had the gallery open. And I was just amazed that so many people showed up. You know, because we planned it in how many days?
Like a week.
Yeah. Like 5 or 6 days. Okay, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And we had the empty facade of La Cinderella, and it worked out perfectly for a movie screening. And thank you for coming up with that idea to do that. And I hope that it's something that we continue to do. Since showing the film a few days ago, I've gotten a lot of messages saying, hey, I'm a filmmaker in Nogales, Sonora. I'd like to share my short film. And so you really, I think, sparked something new down here. And it's awesome. Yeah, what... You also mentioned that you showed the film in Montreal first.
Yeah.
And then Boulder recently, and now both Nogaleses on Cross the Line and here.
Yeah.
What have been the some of the reactions to the film?
Yeah. So in Montreal, I was kind of blown away and shocked and honored to have people coming in. So we showed the film as part of an exhibition in a big gallery, like 12,000 square foot gallery space and event space in Montreal.
Oh, wow.
So that it was an event opening with, you know, live music, DJs and everything, but people were still sitting down and watching the film sometimes two or three times in a row because it was playing on loop. So I had no idea how people from, you know, away from the border were going to respond to it. So that was really touching. People really cared about the stories. And then in Boulder, it was a different kind of event where, you know, I partnered with a bunch of local young artists. They're a very exciting collective. There's a, you know, young filmmakers and rappers that are kind of reinventing the Boulder art scene in a way that hasn't really been done before since I grew up there. So the kind of directive of that event was to promote and create art community. So that was really fun. And people were, again, very engaged in the film, and it was a different kind of audience completely. You know, people that have some idea because they're here in the U.S. But I got a lot of comments of surprise and kind of, you know, people saying, I had no idea it was actually like this and that kind of thing. And then showing it here on both sides, I really hope we can do more events that connect Churea space, creative space in Sonora and La Línea, because... I think that has really great potential to keep this kind of Ambos Nogales spirit alive. But people, you know, watching on the U.S. side in Nogales really felt like they were connecting to an experience that they had had. I think it was very nostalgic for people. And then on the Nogales side, it was really interesting because that too was a different crowd, kind of younger artists who live in Nogales, who see these things every day. But for them, the comment I got the most was that they were grateful that someone was sharing, you know, a perspective of Nogales that was not criminalizing it.
Right, a more personal and
personal human, because even for the American Nogales residents who go across sometimes, there's still this level of fear or distrust.
Like stigma.
Yeah, a stigma. And also for them, it was interesting to see the American side, because we have to remember, because of everything that's happened, Nogales on the U.S. side is 20,000 people, but on the other side, it's 250,000.
Yeah, so or it's, more even, yeah.
It's turning into this, it's almost a city and a town. So, yeah, it was fascinating.
Yeah, and the timing of the film screening couldn't have been better, because the border reopened on November 8th. So, the fact that, like, now we have this fluidity once again, because being downtown the last 2 years, it's just been so quiet and so, it's not the Nogales that we all know. Mm-hmm. So it felt really like a celebration of the fact that the borders reopen and we can go back and forth, and there's not this divide that was in place for so long. It's amazing. I'm curious too, in the film, who were some of the main people that kind of stuck in your mind as far as saying something surprising or that you didn't expect?
It was pretty interesting. I started by filming people that I knew very closely. And some of that material hasn't even been used yet because it is more personal. But what was interesting to me was the kind of characters that kind of stood out. I guess it's a lesson that I've also learned in filmmaking, but, you know, people that are naturally showing the film in many different countries, people will laugh at the same things or kind of respond in the same way.
Interesting.
Be moved by the same statements. Mm. And I think the interview with Javi going across the line is a perfect example of that, because it was such a kind of lighthearted, casual, you know, interview in the back of a truck, going out clubbing with young kids, but everything he was saying has so much weight.
Right.
You know? And so it's like, oh, I'm just going across and my here are my parents and these ones of us can go and these ones can't, and this is my family.
Right.
And I'm from Patagonia, but also my family is all of Chihuahua. Right. Things like that.
Right. Yeah. I think, like, living on the border too, we take for granted the fact that there is this constant binational way of life that is not typical in the world. And we're lucky, I think, because our perspective has a very, I don't know, like a broader visual sense. Like we see things in not just one way. We think about, you know, the many facets of life here, and it's, we kind of take that for granted. But at the same time, somehow it all works too, right? Like I noticed that with the border closing the last 2 years, where Mexican nationals couldn't cross, that had never happened before. You know, it's in, I think the longest the border was closed ever was like a day in 9/11. And so to have that absence for so long, and then when people were able to cross back, then you realize, like, wow, you know, this is really, without this fluidity, we're not the community that we know. You know, we're totally different. And the film kind of emphasized that, you know, that you have people that do cross back and forth, and for a wide range of reasons, right? Mm-hmm. Some it's for fun, others it's like life or death, it's out of desperation. And then you have the people that are observing and trying to help, you know, in these situations. And all of that doesn't get portrayed outside of this community, really. It's you only hear about, like, the doom and gloom, you know, and, like, it's so much more complex. And and as you said, like, you showed it in Canada, in the United States, and in Mexico now, and everyone had the same reaction, like
the same kind of emotional response,
right?
Which was so interesting. And another thing that came to mind, you know, just in the ethics of filmmaking is so complicated, especially documentary, because I think for our crew, what was really important was trying to make this a collaborative storytelling process. And, you know, for example, when we were shooting in the Comedor in the last section, the Kino Border Initiative shelter, we were filming people that were planning to cross over and explaining, but we're not, you know, legally allowed to, or there was an obstacle that, you know, there's a reason they had to try to cross in on their own terms.
Right.
And there were stories that they told us that were extremely intense, you know, and difficult. But those are not the stories that we want. I ultimately chose to put in the film because it was also important to capture that, you know, when we sat down with them, we wanted to just kind of spend time and joke back and forth. And I think we did astrology readings all together and, you know, and we didn't want to just make it, tell us all your stories and we're going to.
Right. Yeah. You wanted to trigger have a people real with conversation and get to know each other. And,
because there is that kind of intensity. I mean, people are traveling so far under dire circumstances. That stuff is all there, but it's also what, you know, these are also people with a whole range of experiences, and how can we kind of convey all of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that, an interesting conversation I was having with one of the artists in Churea. She runs a podcast with Shilo, which I think is their production company.
Right.
But she was saying, and when I showed the film on that side, I kind of saw it through this perspective of, we're still making it from the American perspective, where we have this privilege of being able to cross in and go clubbing or whatever. But, you know, it's interesting on the Nogales side, there are people that, you know, there are whole economies and it's a, you know, people of different backgrounds, but to come into the US, they have to buy a visa to go to Walmart or McDonald's, you know, simple things like that.
Right.
It's not as casual as people coming from this side.
True, yeah.
So little things like that.
Yeah, a lot of inequities there.
That, yeah. But like you said, we see at what cost. I mean, when people weren't allowed to come in and shop here for 3 years, the economy on this side completely faltered and the life kind of drained out. So it's just, you know, it makes you question, why are we trying to limit the fluidity so much?
Well, yeah, and I think border communities all along the U.S.-Mexico border, it's codependent, you know, like we both rely on each other. And no, yeah, it's true. You there's a lot. There's a lot of unfairness, and it's wonderful that you are, you know, putting a spotlight on all of these different situations. And you mentioned that you have a lot of footage you haven't actually edited yet. Are you planning to make another film with that footage?
I think either to edit it into continued short stories, or to use it as a springboard to do future things. You know, we made this in 2017. It was kind of an experiment, and I'm really happy that it's out and that it's amazing that it's touching people and everything. If I were to do it again, I mean, in that time I've learned so much about filmmaking and just little ways I would do things differently. And there are already new stories that have come up, you know, that are more timely, that would be really interesting to follow.
Like the pandemic,
you know, how the different vendors have switched sides of the border, and there are all kinds of, I mean,
a lot of movement that's happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
True.
So I think just, and that's the thing. I remember watching an interview with a director who kind of talked about how, when you're doing something on your own, it takes so long. But when you have a production company or, you know, something behind you, you can get these stories out faster. So,
yeah, you were did everything on your own, basically, right?
Yeah, so after the preliminary kind of project with these five people, this film is actually quite distinct from that because we did the production all together, but then it took 3 years of development to get it into the film that it is now. So I kind of came back and filmed on my own. You know, my main kind of collaborator, producer, and friend who kind of was with me until the end, Sage Jubelius, she helped me. We kind of restructured things. It took taking space from the stories
to be able figure to work
out, and figure out, and also it's just a learning experience because I didn't go to film school or anything like that. So going and looking through these hard drives of amazing but chaotic footage that we had and realizing, okay, there are certain things. How do we set the scene of how do we get the, you know, feeling of Nogales in its stillness into this film as well, not just the moving parts. So I came back and I filmed a lot, did all of the editing myself, and luckily had great opportunity to show the film at Never Apart under director Michael Venus, who pushed me to get it done. I almost gave up a couple of times.
Oh, wow. I'm sure, yeah. But it's a huge challenge to complete a project of this size.
But just kind of getting that push to get it finished and out was really great. And I'm just so glad that it's coming home now. And even, you know, beyond the film, just the fact that it's so... What I've tried to do with these screenings is just, you know, creating community. Mm-hmm. And events are wonderful because you bring people together. And so it doesn't even... It's not really about... Oh, how good is this film, or what is, you know, it's just creating conversations.
Right. And actually, I mean, throughout the pandemic, that was what was limited, right? Gathering and events, the arts in general, I mean, concerts, museums had to close. Everything just kind of stopped.
Yeah.
And I felt that too on Friday night with the screening, like the fact that we could get together and we did it outdoors as, you know, safe as possible.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of just came to be a community, and I think that the more of that we do, the better. And actually, like, you it leads to something else too, right? Like, we did this screening on Morley Avenue.
Yeah.
Next time it'll be a little different, and you know, you'll have probably another film we could show. And,
I hope this generates, you know, momentum both with the screenings. I know we're planning to do one in Patagonia, hopefully one in Tucson. And with La Linea, you know, hopefully this can be an ongoing film event, block party type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so perfect because I think Morley Avenue after 6 o'clock, it's just quiet. It's a quiet street. So why not, you know, have more evening gatherings and events like that?
And there's so much between the two sides of Nogales. I mean, there's so much creativity and talent and artistic, you know.
Yeah.
So many artists. It's really an amazing place. So I hope that this, even just having more filmmakers come out of the cracks and, you know, with your mural project, trying to get the
more art,
the spirit of Nogales out there and have people seeing it, you know, because that it's the border that makes it like that, I think. The fact that
we're the fact that the border is there is what creates this unique energy and should be celebrated. And there is an incredible amount of artists here, and it's nice that it feels kind of like a renaissance of people that like want to share their talents and put it out there for the community.
Yeah.
So thank you for taking the time to talk about the film, and congratulations. And so we have two screenings planned with We Love Nogales.
Yes.
So Friday night at 8 p.m. and Saturday night at 8 p.m.
Yeah, and this is the first chance to screen the film virtually at home.
Nice.
Because it hasn't been available online yet. So,
nice. Yeah. It's a great...
Perfect weekend plan. Get your family together.
Yeah, so if you don't have plans this weekend, now you got a movie to watch.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Lynx.
Thank you. And
congratulations.
Evan and Aisa both.
Yeah, and thank you, Edgardo.
Yeah.
Transmitiendo nuestra comunidad al mundo.